Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more, or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, just a delight to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Our contact information on the web, equip.org. Via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants standing by 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Phil, listening in Houston, Texas. Hi, Phil.
Hello, Hank. I first want to say, Hank, I really enjoy your program, and I think you're doing a great work.
Thank you.
I would like to hear you speak on your belief as to the Trinity versus oneness and the biblical evidence for your belief.
Yeah, I think what's important is to be biblically driven. I love the way you gave the prologue to the question. We have to be biblically driven, not philosophically driven. And I think all too often what people seek to do is they seek to recast God in an image or manner that we can comprehend. And that's not what we are to do. We are to bow our knee before God's revelation of himself to us in his word. So what do we find in Scripture? We find in Scripture that Christianity ultimately is fiercely monotheistic, very much like Judaism is, which is to say we believe in only one God. But as we read through the Scriptures, Old and New Testament, we see that the Father is called God, the Son is called God, and the Holy Spirit is called God, and that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct, which is to say that the Father does not become the Son does not become the Holy Spirit. You see this at the Annunciation. You see this at the baptism of Jesus Christ. You see this even in the Great Commission that Christ gave to his disciples. So again, what we do is we bow our knee before that which we cannot comprehend. Now, what we cannot comprehend does not mean is therefore illogical, which is to say, if the Bible would say there's one God and three gods, that is a clear contradiction. But what the Bible's essentially saying is that there's one God by virtue of his nature and three in terms of subject-object distinctions within the Godhead. Again, I cannot comprehend that. I can merely apprehend that. But I wouldn't want a God, quite frankly, that I could completely comprehend. That would be a God that is far too small. It will take more than an eternity to fully comprehend the God who is not only the one who designed us, but the one who has designated to save us by his grace.
Thank you so much, Hank.
You got it. Thanks for your call. Back to the phone lines. Talk next to Sabrina. She's listening in Grandview, Missouri. Hi, Sabrina.
Hey, Hank, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Thank you, good. Thank you for your time. My question is, I am trying to explain, you know how in the Bible you have, in the Gospels, where Mary is recounting the events, and she tells everyone, and then the other Gospel it talks about that she doesn't tell anybody. How can I explain those little differences in the Bible? Because I've got, you know, a couple of people that just don't understand it. No, it's not real. He's not real. And trying to kind of navigate through that with them and trying to, they come from a believer's background in church all their lives, but honestly do not believe they've ever personally have accepted Christ because they, in within 3 months, they've turned their minds, so.
Sure, and I think what you want to do is welcome these kinds of questions. And if you don't know the answer to the question, do precisely what you're doing. Say, I don't really know the answer to that question, but I'll look into it. And right. And when you do, you find, as I have found doing this for over 30 years, that what we perceive as being discrepancies are not discrepancies at all.
Right.
What the gospel writers give us is complementary, not contradictory. And so what historians have always looked for is a reliable core set of facts. If all the gospel writers gave things to us in precisely the same manner, then we would immediately say there's got to be some collusion here. But what they do for us is they weave a tapestry, and that tapestry coheres. That's why we talk about the perspicuity of Scripture, that there is internal consistency within the biblical text. And this is most certainly true within the case of the synoptic writers. So, for example, you look at the supposed discrepancies in the gospel writers. The first that comes to mind is that according to Matthew, the discoverers of the empty tomb were Mary Magdalene and another Mary. Mark right. says that they were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome. And then Luke says Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James and others. And then John focuses solely on Mary Magdalene. So all of them have a different perspective to give. Now, if John was saying, focusing solely on Mary Magdalene, saying that there was only one woman who discovered the empty tomb, then obviously he would be in conflict with the other gospel writers, but right. that's not what he's saying. And wherever there's one, there can be more. Or wherever there's more, there's always one. So there's no contradiction here. It is complementary information. The other thing you have to realize is Scripture speaks in what's called anthropomorphisms. It speaks in the manner that we can apprehend. So the presentation of material is given to us in such a way that we can relate to. And so the context, therefore, tells us or unravels for us what might otherwise be a discrepancy. For example, you go to the very beginning of Scripture and you say that God is spirit, and then you read in Genesis, well, you know, God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Well, God must have feet, and there must be a discrepancy here. But again, God walking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day is giving us information in the form of an anthropomorphism or speaking in a way that we can relate to.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Well, we'll get in there and read it and see what we come up with. But I do appreciate your time, and this has been quite a battle, but it's pushing me back strongly into the Bible so I can answer why I believe in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the other thing that might be helpful to you is I wrote a book called Has God Spoken? And in that book, I deal with the common discrepancies that are raised with respect to the Gospels and the Bible as a whole.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much. I guess pass me through and let me find out what's going on with that.
Yeah, just hang on.
Okay, thank you.
Bless you, Sabrina. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ron, Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. I've enjoyed your program tonight on Sirius. I'm new to it. My question has to do with free will. My son is in the gifted program at school, and he's having a lot of questions, and one of his questions was, if those going to heaven, already written in the Lamb's Book of Life, God is all-powerful, all the attributes of God, knows the number of hairs on our head and the sands on the beach. How can we be free will creatures? In other words, me sitting in the car talking to you could not, it had to happen because God is in control according to what Christianity says. And his question, you know, is a valid question on that. Where does free will fit in?
Yeah, it's great that he's asking these questions, especially at a young age. But here's the thing, philosophically as well as biblically, to say that God knows all things does not mean that all things are fatalistically determined. You can know things in your past that you had nothing to do with whatsoever. So the fact that you know about them does not presuppose that you're the causal agent of them. When we speak about God, the fact that he knows the future does not mean that the future is fatalistically determined. So both from a philosophical standpoint, and your gifted son will be able to understand this, I think, quite quickly, from both a philosophical standpoint as well as from a theological perspective, the fact that God knows does not in any way impinge on free will. You know, Muslims don't believe we have free will. Most Muslims, the vast majority of them, think that our lives are fatalistically determined. The same thing with atheism. Atheism says that everything is a function of brain chemistry and genetics, and therefore we don't have free will. We are fatalistically determined on the basis of molecules in motion. In a Christian worldview, we have the ability to act and act otherwise. And this is something that really underscores the sovereignty of God. God does not have to work with a stacked deck to get his purposes accomplished in the world. He can work with genuinely free creatures and yet accomplish his purposes, and that in ways that are absolutely precise and comprehensible. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI.
Make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Here again is the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will return to our callers. Next up is Jimmy. He's listening in El Paso, Texas. Hi, Jimmy.
Hello. Can you give me the gist of what the book, A Course in Miracles, is about?
Yeah, The Course of Miracles was actually, it's a pretty elaborate three-volume set. It was written by a woman named Helen Schuckman. She was a Jewish psychologist, and she claimed that God had given this course to her. And in the course, she's basically saying that all of our current perceptions of reality are wrong, but she has some secret knowledge to set the wrong right. It's a Gnostic, occultic, metaphysical knowledge, but knowledge nonetheless. And part of what she communicates is that God is impersonal, he's abstract, that humanity is good and perfect, that we are the equal of Jesus Christ. She teaches that sin doesn't exist, that evil is an illusion, and that we have to see ourselves as being perfect, and therefore no need for the atonement. Christ didn't die for our sins. So it is a complete rejection of biblical theology for esoteric personal revelations that have no correspondence to reality.
Does this have anything to do with, say, Buddhism or Christianity or any other Eastern religion?
Well, it has nothing to do with Christianity, but it does have to do with Eastern religions. I mean, the one thing about Schuckman was she was syncretistic, so she took a little bit from this, a little bit from that, a little bit from something else, and her concept of God is oneness of the mind, and in some ways can be made compatible with the Buddhist idea of going round and round until finally you become one with nirvana or one with the universe.
Well, is reincarnation part of it?
Yeah, I mean, the idea of reincarnation is consistent with it in the sense that in reincarnation, the soul continuously returns dressed up in other bodies, but the idea behind it is that you continue going through life forms until finally you're absorbed in the oneness of the universe.
Oh, okay. That's very informative, then. That answers my question.
Well, thanks for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to John. He's listening in New York. Hi, John.
Yeah, I'd just like to preface my question with this. I've been a college minister for nearly 13 years and kind of been on the front line, seeing a lot of, you know, interesting things. But the group we're with now seems to be focusing on the Bethel Church, and I'm fully aware of, you know, their denial of the deity of Jesus, and, you know, did a whole bunch of research throughout this past year and a half, 2 years, and, you know, picked up your book, Our Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, and it confirmed all my research. So I'm just so thankful for that. I just wanted to tell you that. My heart just breaks for these students because, you know, they're being misled at these big conferences in New York here, and you know, we're struggling, and we're like, should we leave this organization? We're pretty much set on leaving, but is there any wisdom you can give, you know, on that? You know, maybe should we stay to reach other students that are caught up in, you know, because we have ministry times where we're like correcting a lot of confusion, and I don't know, it's just, it's been a strain.
Yeah, and that is a very difficult question to answer, quite frankly. I don't think I can answer that question for you. Should you stay or should you go? In some cases, it is better to leave. In other cases, it is better to stay and try to affect change from within. But if you're going to try to affect change from within, that has to be a calling of the Holy Spirit directly and specifically, I would say, because what has been going on in Bethel Church, you know, is evident on their website. I mean, they're really exploiting the expectations of people. They're reporting instances of healings, including people being raised from the dead. But I guarantee you, you will never find the name, the date, the details with respect to the resurrections that are claimed. Occasionally, you find these kinds of things, and if you do a little bit of digging, you find out that they don't comport with reality. I remember many years ago spending time with Benny Hinn, who was the master at these kinds of resurrections of the dead and miracles. And so I, at a dinner one time, just asked him, look, just send me your three best documented miracles. And when he did, finally, I looked at all three of them, and all three of them were bogus. In fact, you can find a footnote in Christianity in Crisis that has that information there, but that's typical of what you will find. There are statements, those statements simply do not comport with reality, but there is a lot of really bad stuff that they do. They tell you not to pray, if it be thy will, Lord.
Right.
Despite the fact that this is how James tells us to pray, this is how John tells us to pray, this is how Paul taught us to pray, this is what the master teacher, Jesus Christ himself, did in teaching us to pray. Everything else, as James puts it, is mere presumption. So there are all kinds of problems, and those problems are significant problems, and I appreciate the fact that you have a passion for rescuing young kids. And this is not something against Bill Johnson or anything like that. The reason I feel a passion about this, and I would imagine you do as well, is because so many of these kids end up falling out of the back doors of churches, not knowing what to believe, who to trust, and end up in the kingdom of the cults or some other world religion. They've given up the faith, and it is sad, it is tragic, and to do whatever you can certainly is commendable. We did an article in the journal. It's fantastic. It's actually titled Off the Map, Bill Johnson and the Pursuit of Extra-Biblical Authentication. I think you'll find it on the web at equip.org, or we can send it to you.
Okay. Yeah, it's like, you know, there's so much confusion that we see in ministry, and it's just, you know, we're constantly trying to help these students and our students. Do we take a group of 20 people to these conferences, you know, to rescue one or two from another college, you know, and we're really torn, and it's, you know, we're probably going to leave. Can I ask one more quick thing?
Quickly, yes.
One of my best friends is actually ministering. He's Daniel Kalenda's personal assistant. And how do you approach that, you know? Like, how do you help him out of that? And he's a successor to Ryan Harbonke.
Yeah, I think what you have to do is do that with gentleness and with respect. I mean, Reinhard Bonnke is another classic example of a person that claims things that have never happened. And unfortunately, he has been able to attract masses in other parts of the world and now is bringing this home to America, where he's trying to make his biggest stand. But again, it's based on all kinds of claims that do not comport with reality, also based on taking scripture out of context and using it as a pretext. I mean, very much like what you find with Joel Osteen. When you're talking about Joel Osteen, he will say things that sound distinctly biblical until you press. For example, he will say, God tells us that we are to call those things that are not as though they were. Well, when you actually go to the biblical text, it doesn't say that God is telling us to call those things that are not as though they were. It says that God calls those things that are not as though they were. So it's a subtle little twist, but turns out turning the scriptures on its head. And therefore, it's critical for believers to be equipped with discernment skills. If they don't have that, they're going to fall for the skin of the truth, stuffed with a lie.
Great. Well, thank you very much for your time. I'm looking forward to, you know, what we can do in college ministry that doesn't lead people to the bazaar. So keep us in prayer.
Will do. And I really appreciate your call back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to David listening in Texas. Hi, David.
Hello, sir. How are you singing?
Well, thank you.
Well, good. I have a question about the rapture. I believe it's going to happen, but I don't believe in pre-tribulation or mid-tribulation. It's the second coming is what I always call it. And I was just wondering your viewpoint on that.
Well, brilliant. I think that's right. I mean, Jesus is going to appear a second time. And when he does, he will put all things to right. The dead will rise, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. It's not as though some die and are resurrected at one period of time, and some die and are resurrected at another period of time. Now, when Jesus appears, all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, some will rise to be eternally condemned. So the notion of a pre-tribulational rapture, I think, is better rendered the resurrection, which comes when Jesus appears a second time. And that's really what 1 Thessalonians 4 is all about. It is a great and glorious passage on resurrection. Oftentimes it is being misused as a pretext for a pre-tribulational rapture. I've written about this in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, Near-Death Experiences. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, we cannot do what we do without you. That's how we thank those who stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you right back here next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Truth matters, life matters more, details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.